Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated in relation to the Day of Judgment, the Day of Judgment will be so severe that the sun will be a mile away. People will be drowning in their own sweat. Some people will be drowning up to their ankles, some people up to their knees, some people up to their stomach, some people up to their chest. Some people will be drowning in their own sweat. A mother who we love very much in this world, she will run away from her child. A brother we love very much, a friend, a very close friend, will run away from his friend. The father will not take care of his child. On such strict days, on such a harsh environment, the Prophet ﷺ said that the person to be protected and have salvation on the Day of Judgment will be the one who would have recited the most salutations in this world. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Look at the blessings of praising the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you send durood and you send salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance in this world. And due to you reciting that durood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your difficulties, Allah ta'ala will remove your worries, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your hardships on the Day of Judgment. So we should try to make a habit of ourselves to recite as much salutations as we can. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Welcome back to the program Lives of the Prophets alayhim as-salam, in which we discuss the lives of the prophets, in which we discuss the affairs that took place, in which we look at historical events. We have covered the life of Prophet Adam, Prophet Sheeth, Prophet Idris, and half of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. And today we will look at the remaining half of the life of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. There is one beautiful thing that we can gain from the life of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, and that his will to propagate the deen, that is his will to spread the deen. It has been stated that he lived for over 950 years, meaning he had a life which was longer, but he preached for 950 years and he did not give up once. People were harsh to him, people were rude to him, people disrespected him, people abused him, yet because he knew that the reward of this preach, Allah is going to give me. He knew that the reward for these efforts that I'm making, Allah Ta'ala will not waste them, Allah Ta'ala will reward me for them. So he had that mindset and he kept going along with it. This is something that we need to adopt ourselves. Sometimes what happens is that we see a brother, he's indulged in a sin. We tell him once, we tell him twice, then we forget about him. No, we need to keep reminding him. We need to keep reminding our Muslim brother. The Prophet ﷺ said that none of you is a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. If you want to be saved from the fire of hell, if you want to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to be under the shade of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, then you have to wish the same for your Muslim brother as well. Then you have to do the same. You have to preach goodness to him. You have to prevent evil from him. Because now the doors of prophethood have closed. There is not going to be another prophet which is going to come and he's going to preach. It is our duty now. It is our duty firstly to learn the religion correctly ourselves and then preach it to the other people. Another beautiful thing that we find from the life of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam is that he propagated the religion for so many years. He preached for so many years, yet he did not take any wage for it. Now, this is not to say that the ulama of today, that the scholars of today, the lecturers of today, that they do not take wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will come a time, there will be an era when the work of deen will only happen due to dirham and dinar, which will only happen due to wealth. Meaning today we need to support our scholars, we need to support our ulama, we need to support our institutes, support your Dawat-e-Islami who makes thousands of scholars a year, thousands of huffaz. If I remember correctly, over 100,000 huffaz have memorized the glorious Quran from the marakiz of Dawat-e-Islami. Over 70,000 have become ulama. And this is sadqa jariyah for you and your family. If your parents have passed away, or if your parents are ill, or if you just want to give sadqa jariyah for the living, yes, it's permissible to give it for the living as well, then you need to support and help your Dawat-e-Islami. Because if the funds and the wealth stop, then how will their livelihood come about? How will they feed their children? How will they pay their mortgages and their bills, etc.? These are all things that we have to take responsibility and we have to support. The ulama have dedicated their lives to learning and teaching the religion. The least we can do is help them financially. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, lived among his nation for 950 years. During this period, he continued to call them to accept the righteousness. He called them to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He called them to embrace faith. He remained patient upon when facing hardships and pain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the age of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam in the Quran. Translation from Kanzul Iman: and we indeed sent Nuh to his nation. He henceforth stayed with them for 1,000 years minus 50 years. Meaning 1,000 minus 50 is 950 years. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam stayed within his nation for 950 years and he preached the religion to them. There came a time in the life of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam where he had used all possibilities to propagate the deen, and to his shock and to people that there were not that many who accepted faith. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to start building an ark. Allah says in the Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman: we henceforth sent him the revelation that in front of us and by our command construct the ark. It has been narrated that Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam planted teak trees by the command of Almighty Allah. These trees took 20 years to be ready. During that time, no child was born at all. The children that had been born before had become mature, they had grown up, and they also refused to accept the call of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And when the people, the chiefs which we talked about in the previous episode, they used to taunt and they used to say nasty things and they used to humiliate and mock Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, they did not leave their bad habits. Even when Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was building the ark, they came to him and they said, "Oh Nuh, what are you doing?" And Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam said that, "I am building a house which will float on water." And they mockingly said that, "First you claim to be a prophet and now you become a carpenter," and they started to laugh. To which Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam replied, "Today you are laughing at me. Soon there will come a time when I will laugh at you like the way you are laughing at me." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran, translation from Kanzul Iman: and Nuh builds the ark, and whenever the chiefs of his people would pass by, they would laugh at him. He, Nuh, said, "If you laugh at us, so we will laugh at you at a time just as you laugh now. So you will now come to know upon what becomes the punishment which will disgrace him, and that punishment comes down, which is to last forever." The ark of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was very big. It was quite large in size. It has been reported that the length of this ark was around 300 yards. The width was 50 yards and the height was 30 yards. And it is reported that this ark, this ship, had three sections in it. In the first section, there were wild beasts and animals and insects. And in the middle section was cattle, like the cows and the goats, etc. And in the top section were the human beings along with birds. And the body of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was also present on this ark. So this was, you could say, a three-story ship, a three-story ark, in which the first one had the wild beasts and insects and all of that sort of stuff. And the second one had cattle, and the third one had humans and birds on it. Mentioned in the Quran that there's an ayah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen, peace be upon Nuh amongst the creation in the world. And the scholars have written that if a person comes into contact, is approached by a snake or a scorpion, and he recites this blessed verse, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen, that snake or scorpion will not harm that individual, will not damage that individual. This is the beauty of the Quran, this is the power of the Quran, that even verbally reciting the Holy Quran, even just using words from the Holy Quran, they have a great strength and they have a great power to protect you from evil and bad. There were seven people in the family of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. He had three sons, which we talked about, Sam, Ham, Yafith, and their three wives. So that's six altogether. And the seventh was Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. But the total people who embarked upon the ark were 80 people. There were 80 individuals who embarked. There's different narrations, but the most correct one is that there were 80 people who embarked upon this ark. And it has been reported by Sayyidina Dahak radiallahu anhu that when Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was on his ark and he wanted the ship to start sailing, he would say Bismillah. And when he would want it to stop, he would repeat the same words again and he would say Bismillah. Meaning, if a person starts any lawful act with the name of Allah by reciting Bismillah, then that work comes to completion. And this is also, as we see, the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, that something as big as an ark, which holds thousands of creatures on it, it would start and stop with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should also use the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and at the start of every permissible act. Now what happened was when Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he boarded his ark and the people gathered upon it. The Quran, where the word which is used in the Quran is an oven. Now the scholars say that this could either mean a piece of land is referred to as oven, or the second definition is the actual oven in which we bake breads in. And water started to pour out of this oven and it started to rain, and there were strong winds to the extent that high mountains were engulfed in this water. High mountains, they were taken away with this water. When the wind would gush forth, when the wind would come so strong, it would destroy anything in his path. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam had a son whose name was Qana'an, and he was a hypocrite. He outwardly accepted Islam. He outwardly accepted the message of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. When the time came to board the ark, he did not board the ark, and he said, "Oh my father, I will stand on this mountain. Due to me standing on this mountain, I will be protected from this water." Whilst this conversation was happening, a strong wind came which drowned the son of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and he died in that state, and he is punished in the hereafter as well. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's son, this is something that we need to keep in mind, that just because you are in the company of a pious person, just because your spiritual guide, your murshid, your sheikh is a man of a high rank, a man of piety, a man of taqwa, that does not automatically give you a guarantee into paradise until you have the taqwa and iman in your heart. Look, no sheikh or no peer has a higher status than the anbiya. Yet the son of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, when he did not accept iman, when he did not accept faith and he stayed a hypocrite, he was not benefited by the ark. He died and he was drowned in the punishment. In the same way, one of the wives of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Wa'ila, she was a disbeliever. What she used to do, she used to go around and she used to say to people that Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he's insane. He does not know what he's doing. He's making all of this up. And due to this disrespect of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and due to her not embracing faith in Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, she was also drowned and destroyed in this as well. Regardless of how close you are with somebody, it is your own actions which will determine how your death is, and it is your own actions that will determine your hereafter. And one very interesting part in the story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is the fact that the people, when they were drowned in the flood, they immediately were thrown into fire in the realm of Barzakh. Meaning in Alamul Barzakh, that time, that place, which is from the moment you die until the day of judgment, that time period is known as Barzakh. And these people who disobeyed Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, they were thrown into the fire straight away as soon as they were drowned in the flood. And this is also a dalil, this is also an evidence and proof for the punishment in the grave. Why? Because when they were died and they were thrown into the fire of hell, indeed the day of judgment was not established. The day of judgment and the fire of hell, people will be thrown in it after they have been judged. But the people of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, they were thrown into the fire as soon as they passed away. This is a dalil and an evidence for us that the punishment of the grave is true, the punishment of the grave is real, and people who do not do good in this life, people who commit a lot of sins, they will not only be punished in the hereafter, be punished on the day of judgment, but they would also be punished after their death as well. So we should not take these matters lightly, where we do not consider the matters of the hereafter to be easy and we take them lightly and leniently. No, my dear viewers of Madni Channel, these things determine our future. This life, we're here for 30, 40, 50, 60. It's very rare to find people over the age of 70, 80 nowadays. So that should give you an idea that if you are 20 years old today, then you've lived a third of your life. If you're 30 years old, then you've lived half of your life. If you're 40 years old, you've lived more than half of your life. What have you gathered with you to take in the hereafter with you? You have gathered wealth, you have made houses, you've got the nicest cars, you've got the flashiest clothes, you've got the nicest watches and everything. But your book of deeds is empty. There is nothing for you to take in the hereafter with you. What benefit? I'm not saying that you're not allowed to earn all of this. Earning halal risk is one of the greatest worship. But do not let wealth distract you from the main purpose of life. If having a lot of money would prevent death, then Fir'aun and Nimrud, they would not die. They had more money than we would ever have. If being strong would protect a person from death, then there have been extremely big and strong bodybuilders and fighters who have embraced death as well. Even if you are the most pious of people, death will still come to you. It is an inevitable truth that regardless of who you are, what you are, where you are, you will die. And this is something that we need to keep in our minds. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam boarded the ark on the 10th of Rajab, and the ark anchored at Mount Judi on the 10th of Muharram. This is why people fast on the 10th of Muharram, to also show gratitude for this as well. And this is something that we should adopt in our life, that whenever there is a day which has a good annotation with it, meaning on the 10th of Muharram, Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, his ark was stationed. This is a good day. We should fast on this day. Similarly, Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam descended upon this earth. His request in the court of his Lord was accepted on the 10th of Muharram as well. Like we mentioned previously as well, that there are five prophets who are known as Ulul Azm. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that the best children of Adam are five, and they are Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and undoubtedly the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So this was a short biography of Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, along with the incident of the ark, and along with the story that happened, and how his wife and his children, those who were hypocrites, were destroyed regardless being in the company of a Prophet of Allah. So the message to take from today's episode is, regardless of who you are, where you are, you always have to worry about your end. Regardless of if you spend days and nights with the people of Allah, with the men of Allah, if your heart is not pure, then that company will not benefit you. Indeed, sit in their company will remove the rest from your heart, but you have to make the effort yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who never disrespect and go against the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen bijahi nabi al-ameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the prophets, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets, lives of the prophets.